sister was that told you that about the third verse of that song. But I can tell you on more than one occasion, John Crow would say, "I'm so glad I'm not a third verse of a four verse song. Forgotten and ignored." I remember him saying that, Jane and Tim. I'm sure y'all do too. Good to see everybody present with us this morning. I join in with Daryl in welcoming the visitors that we have with us. You're a special guest. As always, I don't think it needs to be said, but it needs to be said anyway. If there are things that you disagree with that you hear me say from the pulpit, you'll be my friend if you'll point it out. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to be right in my own eyes. I want to be right in the sight of the Lord. We've talked on occasion before about, are we conservative or liberal? We've talked about that. And we've looked at definitions in connection with that. And I've seen some conservative brethren. And I've seen liberals. And none of that, of course, as far as disparaging attack against the individual themselves, but rather ideologies that they hold to and practice. Liberalism is a problem. So is conservatism, whenever it's taken to the point, especially in the way that sometimes it is applied. I've seen congregations that had the responsibility to care for some of their own out of the treasury. And because of fear of possibly doing something wrong, they wouldn't do it. They would give some out of their own pocket from time to time. And the person was never really cared for because they were so conservative, so afraid they might do something wrong. And as we've noted in the past concerning those two particular thoughts, we're, as children of God, neither to be conservative nor liberal. We are to be spiritual. We are to be spiritual. And that's doing every bit that God tells us to do and is required of us, without the element of conservatism holding back from that which is required for us to do. And not being liberal from the standpoint of course, going beyond what the Lord has told us to do, where there's still recognition of authority. I've entitled the lesson this morning, "Can You Contain Yourself?" And I'm not talking about from the standpoint of some of the physical antics that take place in connection with some people. That will take passages of Scripture such as 1 Timothy 2 verses 8 through 10 out of context. And Paul says there, "I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands." And you'll see in these services people lifting up their hands and doing this during the services, thinking that that's what Paul was talking about. As we go to verse 9, the first four words of verse 9 is, "In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel," showing that what Paul was talking about in 1 Timothy 2nd chapter and verse 8, lifting up holy hands, was not the physical aspect of that, but rather in honesty and praise unto God. "In like manner as women adorn themselves in modest apparel." We see, of course, that body parts and other aspects are used metaphorically in Scripture. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, 11 through 13. After he had talked about those that receive and rightfully receive the discipline of the Lord through the Word. And he tells them after that, after he had said, "You've not resisted unto blood at this point, but you receive the chastisement that comes from God as children of God, because what father is there that does not chastise his children, rather loves them and chastises them?" And then he says in Hebrews the 12th chapter, 11 through 13, "Now no chastening seemed to be joyful for the present, but painful." And so he tells them in verse 12, "Therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed." And so we see the metaphorical aspect of that. I'm not talking about, as we are here in our worship assembly this morning, being uncontrolled in our actions, our physical actions, in connection with worship of God. As a matter of fact, we are told to be in self-control. When we look over in Galatians, the 5th chapter, 22 and 23, where Paul describes the fruit of the Spirit, he says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such there is no law. And so what I'm asking this morning in connection with, especially our glorifying of God, God being glorified by ourselves, can we contain ourselves and our glorifying God in our lives? When we look back in Scripture, we see aspects that take place in certain settings. And especially in settings in connection with Christ Jesus when He came to this earth. And whenever I ask the question, can you contain yourself? We note that at the birth of Jesus, when He came to this earth, when He was born, the angels could not contain themselves. And we see this when we look in Luke, the 2nd chapter, verses 10 through 14. It says there, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And there will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" The heavenly hosts, the angels, could not contain themselves at the birth of Christ Jesus. That what was taking place was the fulfillment of what had been purposed before the very foundation of the world, that a Savior would come into this world, and now it is taking place. And all that God had set up throughout time, from the very beginning until that point right there, whenever Jesus Christ was born into this world, was that fulfillment of that prophecy of the Messiah, the Savior coming. And because of that, the heavenly host could not contain themselves, and they sang praises unto God. We also see that in a sense, and again a metaphorical sense, that the earth would not contain itself concerning Christ Jesus and who He was. When we look in the 96th Psalm, verse 9 through 13, "O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, tremble before Him all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns, the world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar and all its fullness. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods all will rejoice before the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the peoples will with His truth." And we see that in other places also in Psalm, the 98th Psalm, verse 7 through 9. We see in Isaiah 55, verse 8 through 13, and in the reading that we had this morning that Warren gave for us, whenever Jesus made that triumphal entry into Jerusalem just before His death, and the Jewish leaders chided Jesus because the people were casting before Him their clothes and palm leaves and crying out, "Hosanna to the King that comes in the name of the Most High." And they said, "Have your disciples stop that." And He said, "If I have my disciples stop that, then the rocks would cry out also." And so we see things of this earth in that metaphorical sense, that the fact of what Jesus was saying here and what David had said in the Psalms and what Isaiah said in Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 13, the fact was is that the truth and the absolute fact is that the Christ, the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, is going to be glorified. He's going to be glorified. When we look back in the life of Jesus, there were many that were healed by Jesus that could not contain themselves, even though the Lord had told them, "Tell no man about this, for my time is not yet." We see that in Mark 7, chapter verse 32 through 37. It says, "Then they brought to Him one who was deaf, had an impediment in his speech, and they begged Him to put His hand on him. And He took him aside from the multitude, and He put His fingers in His ears and spat and touched His tongue. Then looking up to heaven, He sighed and said to him, 'Ephphatha,' that is, be opened. Immediately his ears were open, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Then he commanded them that they should tell no one, but the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Jesus knew when his time was. And he didn't want to be taken before his time. But also consider from the standpoint of not being able to contain yourself. Here you have had some sort of physical malady for many years, possibly from birth. And now you are healed from it. You are healed from it. How in the world could you contain yourself to give glory to the one that did that for you? We see the same thing in Luke the 5th chapter, verse 12 through 15. We see it in several occasions in the life of Jesus. That those that were healed, that were told by Jesus, don't tell anyone, that they published it even more. And I think from the standpoint of what they had received, that would be the natural response. They could not contain themselves. But we also see that deity would not contain themselves in connection with Jesus Christ. Deity would not contain themselves. We look back in Luke the 3rd chapter, verse 21 through 22, the account of the baptism of Christ Jesus. It says there, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and while he prayed, the heaven opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. The presentation to the people that were there of this Jesus of Nazareth being the Son of God, in other words, he being deity, he being God also. And the Father would not contain himself in making that presentation of exactly who this Jesus of Nazareth was. Because he is the one that had been prophesied of for generations, that has now come into this world. Deity would not contain themselves. We see it again also when we look in Matthew the 17th chapter, verses 1 through 5. That as Jesus was transfigured before them, and standing beside him was Moses and Elijah. And Peter comes up with his grand thought and idea, and while he was still speaking, and Peter is saying, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us build three churches. Let's build the church of Christ, the church of Moses, and the church of Elijah. I know it says tabernacles, but I'm putting it in our vernacular for today. And while he was yet speaking, the Father in heaven once again broke silence, and now this time he says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. You'll no longer be listening to Moses, because there will be a new law, because there's a new mediator, Christ Jesus. You'll no longer hear the preaching and teaching of Elijah from that law, but you'll hear the law being taught through Christ Jesus, just as the Hebrew writer confesses when we look in Hebrews, the 1st chapter, verses 1 and 2. Because the Son now speaks unto us this day. And so heaven could not, and would not, rather, contain themselves. That is, deity would not contain themselves. And then again, we see it when we look at that triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And I go to John the 12th chapter, verse 27 through 30. And there it says, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. He makes comment with full recognition of the purpose that he came for. The very thing that the Hebrew writer speaks of in Hebrews the 10th chapter and verse 5. Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. Christ Jesus was born in this world to die, to be the sacrifice propitiation for our sin. And we go on with the reading there, and it says, Father, glorify your name. That's what Jesus said after making that statement. I know why I have come. Now glorify your name. And the silence of heaven was broken then for the third time, and the word came from heaven, from deity. I will glorify it. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Deity had already glorified his name just in the coming of Christ Jesus. And in what he did, what he taught, and the way that he conducted himself. And then he says, I will also glorify it again, making comment to what would take place not many days from the time that this account was written. And that is that Jesus would die, He would be buried, and then 3 days later He would rise again, showing forth, just as Paul says in Romans the first chapter and verse 4, declared to be the Son of God with power by or through the resurrection from the dead. Deity would not contain themselves in connection with Jesus Christ and what He did for us and who He was. We look at all of this and we have to ask a question. And we have to ask a question concerning, especially those starting first. I want to consider those starting first that are Christians. And I ask you, can you contain yourself? And the reply should be, well, I'm a good conservative. I have to contain myself. No, you need to be spiritual. You need to be a true child of God. And I ask you, can you contain yourself in connection with Jesus Christ? In connection with the name of God and Jesus Christ? Can you contain yourself? Whenever I look over at Psalm the 57th chapter, verse 9 through 11. Psalm 57, 9 through 11. Here is the attitude that the psalmist gives to us that I think should be ours also. He says, I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you among the nations. Your mercy reaches unto the heavens and your truth unto the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth. The psalmist confesses, I cannot contain myself. And he recognizes what was important in this life is not about how much we make, what jobs we have, the enjoyment and entertainment we engage ourselves in, but rather glorification of God, and I cannot contain myself from glorifying God. When we look in the 86th Psalm, verse 11 through 13, the psalmist continues. And he says, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify your name forevermore. For great is your mercy toward me. And you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol, from the grave, from death. And I just wonder if we have the same attitude that the psalmist has to recognize what we have been forgiven of and that condition that we are in before we become children of God, recognizing that we were lost and dead in sins. And because of that, we cannot contain ourselves to praise Christ Jesus, to praise deity for what they did in connection with our salvation and our forgiveness. Whereby I look in the 104th Psalm in verse 33, I will sing to the Lord all as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. I speak now to the older Christians, of which I am and becoming even more so as time goes on. And I want to make sure that I put this in a very personal aspect so that there'll be understanding by each and every one here. If I was not allowed to preach anymore, if it was a determination of this congregation, the elders of this congregation, we're going to have a different preacher. Wherever I went, let's say that I didn't preach anymore, would I still be studying the way that I study? Would I still be making proclamation to those that are not children of God? Would I be teaching those as we did Tuesday night? Would I still be doing that, or would I say, well, if they're not going to pay me, I'm not going to do my work or do the work? Would I forget the statement made by Paul in Ephesians the 2nd chapter and verse 10, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works that we should walk in them, conduct ourselves in them. That's a Christian, not just a preacher, not just elders, but each and every Christian. Would I continue with that work that had been foreordained by God, as Paul points out there in Ephesians the 2nd chapter and verse 10? Would I be able to contain myself because a paycheck wasn't coming in? There's the personal aspect that I put to it for my own teaching. What about you? What about you? You see, that verse 10 of Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, isn't just for the elders, it's not just for the preacher, it's for every Christian, that we are workmanship created by Christ Jesus for the purpose of good works. When was the last time that you mentioned Christ Jesus to anyone? When was the last time you had a Bible discussion with anyone? Does Christ Jesus ever come up in your discussions, especially with those that aren't Christians? Or are we going to keep things light and fluffy, no reason then to go ahead and cause any sort of problems, because we know there are two things you don't talk about. You don't talk about politics and you don't talk about religion. Is that our attitude? Or do we give glory to God because we cannot contain ourselves? When we look in the 111th Psalm in verse 1, the psalmist says, "Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation." And here we have that setting this morning that the psalmist is speaking of. And it is so easy to do because we're all here for this purpose. We're all here together. We are separate apart from the outside world. We come in here and we worship and praise, but is that the only time? And I fear there are those that misunderstand that worship before God is continual. It's not just as we come at set times here at this building. But it is in our everyday walk of life, day in, day out, every hour of the day. The way that we conduct ourselves is the way that we worship God. Wherever I look in the 119th Psalm, verse 7 through 8, the psalmist says, "I will praise you with the uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I will keep your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly." And I ask us, when each and every one of us, when we look at the statement that is made there, "I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments." In other words, when I learn the truth, not about what feels good to me, not about when the time suits me, not about any of those things, but rather, as he says there, when I learn your righteous judgment, well then he says, "I will praise you with uprightness." Do we do that? Do we study God's word so we will truly know how to worship him and how to praise him and how to glorify him? Can we contain ourselves from looking into the scriptures? Are our Bibles left here during the week, picked up once on Wednesday, once on Sunday, never looked at in between? Or are we students of God's word, people of the book, just as David was, and he expresses in all of the 119th Psalm, and you can thank me for not going through all 176 verses this morning, but rather pulling this out and discussing it. Is our desire to know God's word? Hosea, the 4th chapter and verse 6, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge," he says. And that is true. In the 145th Psalm in verse 2, "Every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever." Not whenever the time is sufficient or right or correct in my own estimation, but he says there, "Every day I will bless you." Do we do that? Are there days that go by when God never comes out of our mouth, where Jesus never comes out of our mouth, where that book is not opened to consider him? When we look over in Acts, the 4th chapter and verse 12, can we contain ourselves from the name that is given by heaven for salvation? And it says there, nor is there salvation in any other, that is in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Can we contain ourselves because of this great blessing and the awesome responsibility that we have as Christians in connection with the truth and in spreading the truth? Can we contain ourselves at the name of Jesus Christ by which we are saved? Can we do that? Romans 10th chapter, verse 9 and 10, Paul says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, we look back in Scripture and we see others that could not contain themselves. And we see a man by the name of Thomas that could not contain himself, but it was after a certain situation had taken place. Jesus had come, appeared before his apostles, except that Thomas was not there. And then when Thomas was told that Jesus had appeared unto them after his resurrection, he said, "I will not believe it unless I can put my finger into the imprint in his hands and thrust my fist into his side. Then I will believe." Jesus appears to them in John the 20th chapter, verse 27 through 29. And he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it in my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And that really comes down to us today. None of us have laid eyes upon Jesus Christ. Not one of us. Do we love Him? Do we appreciate Him because of what has been recorded concerning Him and left for us? Because of the salvation that we have received, even though we have not seen Him, do we really glorify Him? Can we contain ourselves yet we've not seen Him personally? You know, there's appreciation for those that have done good from the medical field. Jonas Salk came up with a vaccine against polio. I never met him, but I'll tell you, I appreciate him. And I know we have at least one sister here that was afflicted with polio when she was young. I understand that. And that vaccine came out shortly after she was afflicted. I understand that. And I'm so sorry for that. But each and every one of us here, if we've received that vaccine, even though we never saw Jonas Salk, we appreciate him, right? Christ Jesus, do we really love Him? Do we really glorify Him even though we have not seen Him? And that was the address that Jesus gave to Thomas at this time. Be believing and not unbelieving. You've seen me, and blessed are those that do not see me yet believe. And that believing is more than just having faith that Jesus is, that He was, that He lived, and so forth, but rather true glorification in the conduct of our life. The nobleman in Acts 8 chapter and verse 27 of Ethiopia, he could not contain himself. It says, "So he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a great eunuch under authority of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem to worship." And then he found out that Jesus of Nazareth was the one that died for him, and there was a change in the law. And he says, "See, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized?" And both he and Philip got out of the chariot and went down into the water, and he was baptized and came up out of the water rejoicing. He couldn't contain himself. We see the same thing in connection with every aspect of conversion that we see, every account of conversion that we see in Scripture. There was joy that followed that. They couldn't contain themselves. And I will tell you that there will be those that have lived, are living, and will live in the future. Every individual on the face of this earth that has lived, are living, and will live, they will not be able to contain themselves when the Lord returns once again. Because Romans 14 chapter verse 11 and 12 says this, "For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God." So then each of us shall give an account to himself to God. There's going to be glorification of God at the end of time. The question is for each and every one of us, and I'm still talking to those that are Christians, to you and me. Can we contain ourselves? Can we keep from singing the praise of the glory of God through Christ Jesus? Can we keep from doing that? Can we keep from mentioning His name? Can we rectify it in our minds? We know it's the job of the preacher. That's what we pay him for. And it's for the elders to go and teach. And they need to get the work done, and we're going to hold them accountable for that. But it's not my job. Can you contain yourself from telling people about Christ Jesus? When we look at this, we understand that we should not be able to contain ourselves. We shouldn't say, "Well, I get emotional." We'll get emotional. Be emotional about what Jesus Christ has done for you. Be emotional about that. Be emotional that you've been forgiven of your sins. Be emotional that you once were lost and without hope. be emotional that you are made not only children of God and sons of God, but you are joint heirs with Christ Jesus, as we see in Romans 8, chapter verse 14 through 18. Be emotional about that. But be emotional and present the truth. Do not contain from doing that. Do not control yourself in speaking concerning Christ Jesus. When we look at this question that we have on the board, can you contain yourself? As I said, there will be a time in which all will not contain themselves. And for some, it will be too late. Because the Lord will come and He will find those that are disobedient and are rebellious and have rejected His Word and the standards that He has put forth through the faith that He's given to us through the Word. Romans 10, verse 17. But their mouths will open and their knees shall bow and they shall glorify God, but it will be for naught. It will be for naught because they are disobedient. And they have a place prepared for them and it is not with the Lord. It is hell. And I ask you this morning, those of us that are Christians, can we contain? I also ask this morning, those that are not Christians, after listening to this and understanding what Christ did for Christians, unto the forgiveness of their sins, unto the glorification of themselves, being made joint heirs with Christ, can you contain yourself from becoming a child of God this day? Can you do that? Let me tell you, if you are able to contain yourself, understand that it is not just a feeling that you have contained within you to contain yourself, but rather it deals with rebellion. It deals with that rejection of God's Word, rejection of Christ Jesus, rejection of all that He did for us. You are in rebellion and rejection against God, and your soul is in jeopardy. And you have at this time something that is not promised when it will end, but you have at this time the long suffering of the Lord on your side because you're still alive. You're still alive and you can make that change. And you can make it where you don't contain yourself. You cannot contain yourself from having faith in connection with being obedient to God. You cannot contain yourself from having that penitent attitude which says, I'll no longer serve self, but I'm going to serve God. You cannot contain yourself from naming the name of Christ, the name of salvation. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You cannot contain yourself from being baptized for the remission of your sins. I pray this morning, if you're not a child of God, that you cannot contain yourself to keep from becoming one this morning. And enter into that family of God. And it's not just the family of God that is here in this building today, but it is all those that have ever lived, both in